This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com. The Sons of Liberty is a politically neutral organization. We believe that the Judeo-Christian ethic has provided the principles upon which this nation was founded. It is our belief that these principles provide not only the foundation and framework for American government and society, but are also essential to the maintenance of a fair and just society. All program content is based on a Christian biblical worldview.
One of you said to me recently that we shouldn't rock the boat. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that I am a boat rocker.
Friends, as well as a few enemies, scoffers, atheists, skeptics, lunatics, weirdos, and assorted bad guys, and of course all of you good guys and girls out there, welcome to the Sons of Liberty. You have with yours truly Mr. Bradley Dean. I wanted to let you know if you want to call in at any time, please do. That number is 1-866-582-9933. Also wanted to let you know if you want to check us out online, go to sonsoflibertymedia.com, 13 to 15 articles over there. Go to the right side of the page, join us on YouTube, click onto that, and join us on Top Chat Live. You can also do the same thing over on BeforeIt'sNews.com, BeforeIt'sNews.com. Click onto the front page. Join us on YouTube. Join us on Top Chat. Again, if you want to call in, 1-866-582-9933. Folks, if this is the first time listening to the Sons of Liberty Radio.com, do remember that this is the radio show where we think for ourselves and make not the others the measure of our conduct. And why is that? Because it's a terrible place to be when your brains are in someone else's head. We follow the Christ here, John 14:6. Really quick. It's interesting to note, friends, remember when George Bush was asked if he was going to win a second term and he was sitting in an airplane seat? And this is right after September 11th and then his term, you know, when his election cycle came up. And he was asked, so do you think that you're going to win the second term? And he just confidently and arrogantly and narcissistically looked at the reporter and said, you can bank on it. You guys all remember that? And sure enough, he won. Do you remember when Barack Hussein Obama had talked to the Russian diplomat when he sat on a hot mic without his knowing, unbeknownst to him? He said to the Russian diplomat, we'll pull sanctions after my second term. This is before he was voted in a second time, which only goes to show you that Roosevelt was right when he said presidents are selected, not elected. Well, Pompeo just came out, friends. Again, this can go either way, but this is just absolutely ridiculous and telling that nothing happens in politics that's not first planned. Mike Pompeo, Secretary of State, just came out and said there's going to be a smooth transition into Donald Trump's second term. I kid you negative. So, with that said, folks, we are in some serious times. We are in some dangerous times. And it's just, it's going back and forth. The game goes on, the show goes on, and we get to look at the two-point men right now, the clowns in the circus of politics that lead up this entertainment, namely Donald Trump and or that of Joe Biden. But folks, we're in for it, and we are in those times. We need to stand strong right now and keep our feet upon the rock of our salvation more now than ever. I want to get over to something. I talked to law enforcement this morning. That's how far I'll go with it. And the law enforcement guy, and I'm saying that for the very purpose that he had told me that people right now are afraid. They're scared of what's going on in their country. And I said, of course they are. I said, because they fear the consequence of their sin, because their sin is finding them out, Numbers 32:23. And I said, they fear more the consequence of man than the face of God. And what they don't realize is they're going to meet him on that final day for judgment, Hebrews 9:27, because we know all roads lead to the judgment seat of Christ. And he had shared with me that a lot of people are committing suicide right now. And he's a knowledgeable guy. He's an inside guy. And I just told him, I said, suicide is a permanent solution to a temporary problem. And I said, people need to understand that life is uphill. Jesus said, straight and narrow and difficult is the way. He's the one that told us that even if you desire to live a godly life, you're going to be persecuted for righteousness' sake. And it shows you the Spirit's call, and it shows you the flesh's call. And we need to understand that they're at war one with another. But I want to give you a word of encouragement before we pick up Dr. John Diamond. We're going to be talking about if you want peace, prepare for war. America needs to get back on the offensive in just a couple moments. But I want you to listen to this analogy really quick. There was once a farmer who had an old donkey. And one day he was walking along and he heard this donkey crying. As he walked towards the cry of the donkey, he came up to find out that the donkey had fallen into an old well. As he was trying to get out, the donkey cried all the more. The farmer thought to himself, how am I going to get this donkey out of the well? As he pondered it for a little bit, he began to reason with himself, saying, well, this donkey is old. That's really not worth much anyways. Let him just die down there. He's not really worth my time, effort, and to get him out is only going to cost me all the more. Well, what he did is he called over some of his farmer buddies at the end of his thought, because he thought a positive thought rather than a negative thought, and he thought, well, I'm going to get him out. So what he did is he called over some of his farmer buddies, and they were going to go ahead and just bury him, and they began to shovel scoops of dirt and throw it on the well, burying the donkey alive, again, because it was worthless, remember? The donkey panicked at first, knowing what they were trying to do, and suddenly, to the farmer's amazement, the donkey started to do something very different. For every scoop of dirt that they would throw on the donkey's back, you know what that donkey would do? That donkey would shake it off, and he would use it as a stepping stone to come out of the well. And so it is those that feed on the Word of God. Folks, life is hard. It's uphill. The world today tries to throw a lot of dirt, doubt, fear, oppression our way. But you know what? We must take what the world tries to throw at us and use it as a stepping stone to get out of that hole. And the Bible is clear when it tells us in 1 John 4:4, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is you than that is in you than he that is in the world. And folks, people need to understand that what's going on here concerning committing suicide, the Bible says thou shalt not kill, and thou shalt not kill means just that. That means suicide as well. Okay? Don't be guilty either way of taking someone else's life, nor your own life. Keep your eyes fixed on the author and the finisher of your faith. Hebrews 12:2, because therein lies your hope. This is a mind game, folks. You all heard of Houdini before? Well, Houdini was the greatest escape artist in history, and several times he allowed himself to be bound in chains and cast into the sea. But instead of drowning, he would shed his chains and escape. One time, however, Houdini almost didn't make it. The incident took place in a small English town where Houdini had boasted that he could escape from any jail cell as long as he was allowed to wear his street clothes and work in complete privacy. Now, the people of this small English town were proud of their specially constructed jail cell, so they invited the famous Houdini to go ahead and give it a try. Houdini arrived in much publicity and fanfare. That means a lot of people showed up. The officials then led Houdini into the jail cell, shut the door behind him, and left the building. The master immediately went to work. He first extracted a long, tough steel shaft that he would use to unlock most doors. But this time it didn't work. Why wouldn't the jail door open? After 2 hours, Houdini became so exasperated that he began to sweat really hard and his confidence began to waver. After 3 hours, the master became so physically exhausted that he collapsed and fell up against the door. Guess what, friends? The door swung wide open. The officials had tricked Houdini into thinking that the door was locked when in truth it was not. The only place that that prison door was locked was in Houdini's mind. SonsOfLibertyRadio.com. We'll be right back.
Ready to set brush fires of freedom in the minds of men? Well, start your engine with some high-octane truth-telling on the Sons of Liberty Morning Show with Tim Brown. We'll bring you news and commentary from a Christian worldview using the Bible and the Constitution as our only resources. Not to determine who's on the right or on the left, but who is on the straight and who is on the narrow. Get on the inside track every weekday with Tim Brown and the Sons of Liberty Morning Show, 6 a.m. Eastern and Saturdays at 8 a.m. Eastern.
Bradley Dean and the Sons of Liberty are fighting the good fight of faith to make sure that freedom is preserved for our posterity for generations to come. Through our radio program, sonsoflibertyradio.com, and our media website, sonsoflibertymedia.com, we are reaching the masses both nationally and internationally with the message of the gospel and the truth of our biblical and constitutional heritage. At sonsoflibertyradio.com, you will find out how to book Bradley Dean to speak at an event near you, how you can support us in reaching America with this uncompromising message, and how to become a son or daughter of liberty, where you can financially support the work of the Sons of Liberty on a monthly basis and join with us in this fight to restore our nation. Check out sonsoflibertymedia.com as well, which has all the important news and information going on in the world today. There you will find the black and white truth without all the lies you'll see in the mainstream media. sonsoflibertyradio.com and sonsoflibertymedia.com, informative, easy to use, and a little fun too. Two sites that will change your life. Visit them today.
Wisconsin Christian News, a 48-page national newspaper unlike anything you've seen before. Hard-hitting commentaries, politically incorrect, vital news and information you can't get anywhere else. Get a free sample copy. Email rob@wisconsinchristiannews.com and mention the name Bradley Dean. Caution, side effects of this newspaper for liberals and evangelifish include, but are not limited to, uncontrolled fits of rage, weeping and wailing, and the urge to curl up in a fetal position in a safe space in your mama's basement.
At 58 years of age, I noticed a dramatic energy decline. After a five-day work week, I had to use one of my days off to rest and recover. I also had cut my gym visits down from three times a week to once a week. Since I began using Green Meadow Whey, my energy level has greatly improved. I no longer have to take a day to recover. I have increased my gym visits back to three times a week. I'm actually more active and feeling better now than I have in the last 5 years. It's so nice to wake up in the morning feeling good and ready to go. Before trying Green Meadow Whey, I must have tried every whey protein product on the market, and every one of them caused me bloating, gas, and constipation. I've had no such issues with Green Meadow Whey. In fact, I'm sleeping better, my vision has improved, and surprisingly, my emotional and mental state has also improved. I love what Green Meadow Whey has done for me.
Green Meadow Whey comes from milk derived from grass-pastured cows. To order, call 888-988-3325 or visit greenmeadowwhey.com.
Okay, welcome back again to the Sons of Liberty. Friends, try to cover a lot in that very short amount of time, namely the first segment here. I got a phone call this morning from my friend Dr. John Diamond, and he is very like-minded, same heart, same mind, same judgment on so many different fronts. As a matter of fact, I don't know that we have differing points of view when it comes to Scripture. And that's a good place to be because the Bible says we're supposed to be unified, right? Ephesians 4, going over to 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10, so on and so forth. And so we were talking for a couple minutes here, and I said, well, why don't we get you on the show on Thursday? And then he started talking some more, and I thought, well, you know what? We need to get you on the show today. So why don't we just talk about if you want peace, prepare for war? America needs to get back on the offensive rather than on the defensive. So without further ado and without being laborious here, I brought Dr. John Diamond on with us today, who just wrote a brand new book. He can tell you all about it. But I want him to share with you, our listeners, as to what he was sharing with me, because it really comes into play as being common sense when it comes to Scripture. But most people don't know what we're going to find out in just a couple of moments here because they've been listening to the hirelings in the pulpit preaching a false gospel and a false grace. Okay, read John 10:12 when you get a moment. So again, without further ado, Dr. John Diamond, welcome to the show. How are you, brother?
Bradley Dean, great to be on again, my brother. I'm glad to see you're still in the fight.
I am, absolutely. I've been doing it for 23 years now. So why don't you go ahead and share with the people as to what you've been sharing across the country on radio outlets nationwide, because I think it's important for people to hear it. Matter of fact, I get people every once in a while saying, you know what, why don't we ever talk about prayer? Okay, that's fine. That's really cool. I thought that just comes with the territory. I mean, if you're going to study the Word, you know, Word without the prayer, it makes absolutely no sense, like faith without works does. And so in saying all that, go ahead and share our conversation this morning, if you wouldn't mind, Dr. John Diamond.
Yeah. I mean, I'm talking from is from a theological, you know, perspective. My master's is in theology, and my doctorate in Christian education. So this is quite theological. But what we are talking about is imprecatory prayer, and it's one of the things that the church. I don't know that I've ever heard a pastor ever preach on. Christians basically shy away from it because they don't understand justice. And what we were talking about is think of it this way, and I'm a former police officer. If a man is raping a woman, and I'm a police officer and I show up, I'm not going to just stand there and pray that the Lord would change his heart or the Lord would bless him or hope he would just stop. No, my job as a government official, my job as a police officer would be to stop the guilty lawbreaker from assaulting this innocent woman. So when you understand that, then you have a better understanding of what imprecatory prayer is. When you read, there's over 20-some imprecatory prayers in the book of Psalms, you know, and they say things like, you know, break the arm of the wicked, Lord, break their jaw. And I told the church the other day, how many times have you ever prayed anything like that? And they looked at me like, that is the most unchristian thing that you can possibly say. And again, it's all about perspective. Yep. If you understand, there are two classes of people on this planet, the children of God and the children of the devil. That traces clear back to the Garden of Eden when he said, your seed will destroy his seed. Well, who is Satan's seed? It starts right with Cain when he killed his brother because his brother's deeds were righteous and he was wicked. You can track that straight through the Old Testament. They killed every prophet God had sent. They killed Christ. They killed the apostles. They dragged Stephen into the Sanhedrin in Acts chapter 7. And he ran down that whole history for them. So if you just think we're all God's children, then you're probably never going to pray a prayer like that. But if you understand there are Satan's seed, there are the children of the devil, as it says in 1 John. Here's how you can tell the children of God versus the children of the devil, exactly what it says in 1 John. There are those two classes. Now, we are not to sit by and let evil triumph. We are not just to sit by and say.
But wait a second, Dr. John. But God's on the throne. He's just going to go ahead and do what he's going to do. That's what they're taught. They're taught to be impotent. They're taught to sit and do nothing. They're taught to just accept it. And then they're taught a false theology called eschatology. And then they're called to just sit back, do nothing, let the world go to hell in a handbasket because they're going to be raptured from responsibility. That's what they'll say to you.
That's exactly right. And that's why we have to overcome that ignorance with scripture. And to show, you know, because most of them, this is what I thought Sunday morning. Christianity that we deal with today is what I call parenthetical Christianity. All right. They open up their Bible and they put like 5 or 10 verses in parentheses and that's all they ever teach. God's love, mercy, forgiveness. They don't preach that God is a God of justice. They don't preach what it says in Romans where it says consider the kindness and severity of God. They don't preach from Deuteronomy that says that God is merciful and long suffering, but also holding the guilty responsible. So, I mean, it's just this one-sided, feel good, fill my plate, grow my kingdom, grow my church theology that's got us in this mess.
That's right. I want to just bring it to scripture right now because I didn't know anything other than what we're talking about right now. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is the seed of David. You can read that in Mark 1. We can go on and understand that we're to pray the prayers of David from old time preachers, going back to the old past, Jeremiah 6:16. What are we taught today? Well, they have a carnal understanding, a reprobate understanding, making definitions out of words in a carnal sense rather than a spiritual sense. And you just said something that was key. They don't understand judgment. It's interesting that you would say that because when you go to Proverbs 28, and it tells us in verse 4, they that forsake the law praise the wicked. What have the modern day hirelings been preaching for 7 decades in this country? Oh, the law, that's totally legalistic, which you can't find in Webster's 1828. And their meaning is that if you love God enough to obey him, then that's legalism. No, I obey God because of what Jesus Christ did for me on Calvary, and out of gratitude, I serve him. That's why I serve him. But I have a sense of judgment because I understand that when I'm born of the Spirit of God, like Jesus, Isaiah 42:21, Psalm 40 verse 8, going to Hebrews 8:10, Hebrews 10:7, how he came to magnify the law. Well, scripture's clear going back to Proverbs 28, John, and it says, they that forsake the law praise the wicked. It's what we're seeing today. But such as keep the law contend with them because they have a sense of right and wrong and judgment within their hearts. Going to verse 5, the Bible clearly tells us evil men understand not judgment, but it tells us at the end of that scripture, but they that seek the Lord understand all things. And one more point before I give it back to you, John, is the fact that when I go over to the New Testament, I can clearly see that it's a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to those that trouble us. I understand what it tells us in 2 Thessalonians 1:8 through 9, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. And I can go on, and I can go on, and I can go on. But see, we have a modern theology which has stripped the Spirit of the living God from the Word. The letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. They have the letter, which killeth, but they don't have the Spirit that giveth life. And what we're talking about right now is the heart of God, because he's known by the judgments that he executes, found in Psalm 9:17. What say you?
No, I absolutely agree. And one of the scriptures that you have, I just wrote an article for your website. One of the scriptures you quote all the time is Isaiah 4:6. My people were destroyed for lack of knowledge, but they were destroyed for lack of knowledge because the priests and the prophets had went off the rails. They were not teaching the laws of God anymore. That entire scripture says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because you have rejected knowledge. I reject you from being a priest. And since you have forgotten the law of God, I will also forget your children. So it was the pulpit, essentially. It was God's priests and prophets who had become apostate, who were no longer preaching the law of God. And that's what you have here again today. I've got another article for your website that I haven't submitted yet, but it's already done on my computer. It said America is lawless because the church is lawless.
That's right.
And when you got pastors standing up saying we don't have to keep the law anymore, and they take scriptures like Romans 6:14 that says you're not under law but under grace, and that says that we don't have to keep God's law anymore. Go back and Jesus said not one jot or tittle of the law will pass until heaven and earth passes away. Pretty sure heaven and earth hasn't passed away yet. All right. When he says if you love me, keep my commandments. When it says in 1 John, this is how you can tell the difference between the children of God and the children of the devil. The children of God keep his commandments and are righteous, and the children of the devil do not. So, I mean, you take one scripture and you hang your entire theology on it. That's what that parenthetical Christianity is. And you reject the 47 times in the New Testament it says we are to keep the law.
That's right. Well, I think everybody can understand why I have Dr. John Diamond on with me today, because it's putting in perspective and getting back on track what the Word declares that we're to do when it comes to prayer. I got people asking me right now, Dr. John, what are we supposed to do? I got to answer. Really? I'm going to take a quick break. SonsOfLibertyRadio.com. We'll be right back on the other side. SonsOfLibertyMedia.com. SonsOfLibertyRadio.com.
If you or a loved one is a survivor of abuse by Boy Scouts of America representatives as far back as the 1970s, we urge you to speak up. We'll stand with you and get you the help and financial compensation you deserve. A jury in Portland, for example, awarded $18.5 million in punitive damages in one Boy Scout sexual abuse case. The Boy Scouts of America filed for bankruptcy, and funds have been set aside to compensate those injured. Time is limited, and so are the funds. Call today. Don't wait. For free information on how to file your claim, call All Survivors Advocates right now. We have a long track record in helping our clients get the legal justice and compensation they deserve. Please, we are ready to help you. Call today.
800-364-2984. 800-364-2984. 800-364-2984. That's 800-364-2984.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell was reelected to his eighth term as GOP leader on Tuesday. Regarding the presidential election, the Kentucky Republican reminds everyone,
let's not have any lectures, no lectures about how the president should immediately, cheerfully accept preliminary election results from the same characters who just spent 4 years refusing to accept the validity of the last election and who insinuated that this one would be illegitimate too if they lost again, only if they lost. The people who push this hysteria could not have more egg on their face than they do right now.
The Russia investigation is back in the spotlight on Capitol Hill. Senators hearing from former FBI Deputy Director Andrew McCabe. You're listening to USA Radio News. With the votes continuing to be counted in the presidential election, it remains unclear if the immigration policy will be changing next year. One thing that is clear, though, according to former acting director of ICE Tom Homan, President Trump's border wall is a success.
Brian, the data is clear. Every place they put a border barrier in a border wall, it has resulted in decreased illegal immigration and decreased drug flow. This is a wall that the Border Patrol asked for. The experts on the border asked for this, and the president giving them the wall exactly where they want it.
That audio courtesy of Fox News. McDonald's CEO says it's very clear that the United States will need a new coronavirus stimulus measure. Congress and the White House have yet to reach a deal on the next round of coronavirus relief, with Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell saying after the election day, although the votes are still being counted, that he'd favor a bill by the end of the year. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A.com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
Welcome back again to the Sons of Liberty. Talking to my friend Dr. John Diamond right now. And if you want peace, friends, you're going to have to prepare for war, but we need to learn how to pray first and foremost. Now, before I get back to John, I want you to listen to this carefully. It was Augustine that said, the law detects, grace conquers. I want people to understand this. I do what I do because I'm saved. I don't do what I do to get saved. Okay? We're saved by grace, but I want you to hear what grace does. Going to Ephesians 2, verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith. We established the law through faith. Romans 3:31, by the way. But going back, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now listen carefully. For we are his workmanship. For what, Lord? Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Folks, for to me to live is Christ, is gain. For to me to live, right, is to be found in Christ. And the bottom line is I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live in by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And I want to give this real quick quote, because it's everything you were talking about, John, just a moment ago. R.W. Barber said in 1900, you got to go back to the old-time preachers, friends. He said, he who has not felt what sin is in the Old Testament knows little what grace is in the New. He who has not trembled in Moses and wept in David and wondered in Isaiah will rejoice little in Matthew, rest little in John. He ends with, he who has not suffered under the law will scarcely hear the glad sound of the gospel. I want to get back to our friend, our guest, Dr. John Diamond. We're talking about real prayer here. And the fact of the matter is, John, what we've heard from the pulpits for decades in this country is a false sense of grace, a false sense of love. They're using the grace of God as an occasion for the flesh. And in doing so, they're taking Scripture and they're gutting it of the Holy Ghost. The Bible's clear when it says in 1 John chapter 5, it says, "He who hath the Son hath life, but he who hath not the Son hath not life." And I think we need to begin to test the spirits between that, those that have the Spirit and those that don't have the Spirit. How did David pray, John? How did David pray?
Read Psalms 119, and I think it's like 134 verses, and the entire thing was about how wonderful God's law is. I'm not really sure how
just
we got
it.
in the New Testament to thinking God's word is a pariah. God's law is something that we don't want to keep God's law anymore. That's so Old Testament. What are you telling me? So we can go out and rape and kill and murder and steal and lie? You realize what God Israel destroyed in the Old Testament? God said to them, "You think that you can come into my house, which is called by my name, and lie and steal and kill and worship false idols, and then come into this house and say I'm saved to commit these abominations?"
That's right.
This is exactly what the false grace message does. Hey, we're saved. We're under grace. We can pretty much do anything that we want to do. I was in seminary, and one of my teachers said, I'm going to prove this. He said, "How many people in here can list all 10 commandments?" And there was like 15 of us in the class, and nearly every one of them was in some level of ministry. And there, he goes, "Now, I'm gonna make you say them, so if you raise your hand, you better know." 3 out of the 15 ministers could repeat the 10 commandments. Yep. Now, how in the world? America is lawless because this is what Jesus said when he talked about the law. He said, all of these things hang on love God and love your neighbor. I taught this in my class one day. Love God and love your neighbor. Those two things didn't replace the law. Those two things are the golden rule.
Fulfilling the law. That's right.
And that's what it says. All these hang on it. And so I put up on the board, love God. And I said, okay, here's your first 4 commandments. You shall have no gods before me. No worship no false images. Keep the Sabbath. Do not take the Lord's name in vain. I said, you can't break any of those 4 without breaking number 1. I said, look at the other 6. Thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Honor your father and mother. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not covet. I said, you can't break in any of these and just say, well, we just got to love God and love each other. You're not loving your neighbor if you're committing adultery with their wife.
Let me say this, though. You can't love your neighbor until you first love God. And you can't love God until you are driven to him by the Holy Ghost, who comes about to convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment, working godly repentance in you, 2 Corinthians 7:10, to bring about godly repentance, where the love of God is then shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost who's been given unto us, Romans 5:5. John was just referring to Psalm 50, and then he was referring over to 1 John as well, friends, where it says, "By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God." Folks, we can't love people until we first love God. "By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God. We keep his commandments." And that is the fulfilling of the law. And where people have separated love and law is unscriptural. God gave his law because he loves, friends, not because he hates. And if you think that's crazy, try doing that in natural law. Go ahead and just do whatever you want to do. When you get pulled over by the police officer, just tell him how much you love him. And I know I was going 15 miles an hour over the speed limit. I was going 70 in a 55 mile an hour zone. Well, the cop's going to look at you too, a real one, and he's going to look at you too and say, "I love other people on this road that you're jeopardizing right now, so therefore I'm going to give you a judgment because you violated the law," Romans 3:20, "and then I'm going to give you a ticket." And what they've been taught is thou shalt not judge. So what they do is they begin to hate the people that are telling them the truth because they don't have the love of God in their hearts, John. And that's how messed up things have become in this country. Was that confusing? Absolutely not. It makes perfect sense when it comes to the mind of Christ. It really does.
Yeah, in Romans 6:14, the video that I'm doing as an accompaniment to the article that America is lawless because the church is lawless, Romans 6:14, when it says you're not under law but under grace, that has nothing to do with the Old Testament law. All right. So what is intended to be one of the most powerful scriptures that frees a person from sin, the pulpit is using that scripture to enslave them to sin. And that's what Jesus said. If you commit sin, you're a slave to sin. So they're, according to Jude 4, and he says, ungodly men have crept into the church unaware that changed the grace of God into a license for immorality. What is a license? A license allows you to do something that you otherwise wouldn't be allowed to do. All right? It's illegal to drive a car unless you have a license. It's illegal to make liquor unless you have a license. What false grace is, hey, it's wrong to commit adultery, but if you're under grace, I sat in a church, and this was the last time I sat in this guy's office, and I said, I came out of a rock and roll, sex, drugs, and rock and roll background. And, I mean, I was a heathen until I was 27. And I sat in his office, and he's the one who led me to Christ. And I said, you mean to tell me that I can go back into the bar, chase women, do drugs, do everything that I did, and God's okay with that? And he sat down, and he wrote down a stick man, drew an umbrella over it, wrote the word grace in it, and said, God doesn't see your sin because you're under grace.
Yeah.
And I walked out of that church and never went back in.
Well, I'm not washed from my sins by the grace of God. I'm washed from my sins through the blood of Jesus. And if I'm thankful for that sacrifice, I'm going to see the price paid for my freedoms, and I'm not going to do anything to violate or transgress what he did on my behalf in any sense of the word. So there's the false gospel once again. I believe more than anything, people's prayers are lined up with what they're taught from the hirelings in the pulpit today, and they're succumbing rather than overcoming, and you just alluded to it just a moment ago. And the fact of the matter is for some reason or another, the American church, instead of being made more than conquerors through him that loved them, Romans 8:37, they've been taught to just succumb and to just get by and to accept the fact that somehow or another that grace is the standard, that fallen grace, that false grace, rather than the risen Christ who is the standard. And I think that's where people are getting screwed up in their minds as to what is taking place and why they're upside down and they're succumbing rather than overcoming, John. And I wanted to add to that too, because when I read Psalm 2, it says, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth, they set themselves together, hello America, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. But what is the response, friends? He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet I have set my king upon my holy hill. And then it talks about seeing things the Lord's way. Kiss the Son, meet him on his terms, lest he be angry and you perish from the way when his wrath be kindled a little. I can't find from Genesis all the way to Book of Revelations where we're to succumb. And well, some will say, well, look at the disciples. They were all crucified. Folks, you need to keep in mind, the Bible is clear when it says, had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. That's where the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ comes into play after the cross experience. And the enemy, had he known, he would have left the church alone in the first place. But this is the downfall to the world. It's called the cross. And if you understand the power of God into salvation, we're on the same line here, because I believe that's what Dr. John Diamond's bringing into play concerning his brand new book. By the way, what is the name of your brand new book, Dr. John?
Well, I've got two of them. One was just released by Trinity Broadcasting. It's called An Appeal to Heaven, A Cry for Divine Justice. It's about not only re-educating people on the Constitution and the founding of this nation, but it's very educational. It's really about imprecatory prayer and how the founding fathers used it, how Moses and the children of Israel used it, the slaves used it. I mean, this thing works. It's been used throughout history. This is why we're falling, because we refuse to use imprecatory prayer. The one that just came out the other day is called Fighting the Next American Revolution. I wrote this 20 years ago predicting exactly what we're seeing today, and it was basically ignored by the Christian church because, oh, that'll never happen in America. Here's what I said 20 years ago. America is not America. America is a totalitarian, atheistic police state wrapped in the American flag as a facade. And everybody looked at me like I was insane. Well, now that you're on house arrest, now that all your rights are being stripped by some phony virus, please tell me I was wrong, because I saw the writing on the wall. It's what every nation falls into when they reject God. When they reject Christ as king, they enslave. enslave themselves. That's exactly what the Israelites were warned. We want a king. And he said, I'll give you a king, but here's what's going to happen.
Exactly.
You're going to get enslaved.
Folks, we're talking to Dr. John Diamond right now on Precatory Prayer, and we're going to come right back to it. We got one more segment, 1-866-582-9933. Sons of Liberty Radio.com, Sons of Liberty Media.com. Again, we'll be right back on the other side.
At the Sons of Liberty, we are in the trenches doing what it takes to protect our liberty. If you are already supporting our work as a son or daughter of liberty, we cannot say thank you enough. All we do is made possible by the generosity of faithful supporters like you. Together, we are having a positive impact on the future of this country we all love so much. If you have not yet partnered with us financially, we ask you today to consider becoming a son or daughter of liberty. Call 1-866-233-0747 or online at sonsoflibertyradio.com. Be a part of the team that brings responses like this.
Hi, I'm a Sons of Liberty listener. I listen to Bradley almost every day. He tells us what we need to hear instead of what we want to hear, unlike most shows that you listen to. Why don't you join me and sign up to be a son or daughter of Liberty today?
Become a son or daughter of Liberty at sonsoflibertyradio.com. sonsoflibertyradio.com.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our made in the USA, microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part? Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S. patented, made in America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Welcome back again to the Sons of Liberty, folks. We're talking about imprecatory prayer. Now, for those that don't know what the word imprecatory is, it is an adjective containing a prayer for evil to befall a person. In other words, victorious prayers, the prayers of David. And we're talking to Dr. John Diamond right now. I'm going to take a couple phone calls for Dr. John right now. We got Jimmy calling in from New Mexico. Welcome to the Sons of Liberty. How are you?
Good, Mr. Dean. Yes, I do have a question about the scriptures. You guys do scriptures all the time, and I noticed on the Sons of Liberty Media website, the scripture that you got here is really blowing my mind. Is 1 John 3:18, and that's a very good scripture. I'm going to read it. It says, "Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth." That's 1 John 3:18 KJV. And then, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." So I'm wondering, all this preaching that everybody's going on, that's not, those are actions. Those are words. So I would think that that's not right. I don't know. What do you think?
It's not what I think. It's something that George Washington, his slogan was, by the way, it was extracted from 1 John 3:18, deeds, not words. What is it that you're having difficulty with, Jimmy? Deeds, not words. Faith without works is dead. James 2:14-26. I think that's pretty self-explanatory. We had another phone call. We just lost him. I'll take Dr. John back up. We had another phone call coming in from William in Tennessee, but I don't know why he fell off. William, give us a call back in if you still have a question you'd like to ask Dr. John. If you want to call in, now's the time to do it. We're on the last segment, 1-866-582-9933. Dr. John, so is there anything that you need to get off your chest concerning what you shared with me earlier in the day concerning imprecatory prayer and how it needs to be applied back to the church? Not that it's ever been taken away from the real church, but for those that don't understand, or maybe they're confused or they're trying to figure out why they're not getting answers, what would you say to those people, John, concerning imprecatory prayer?
What I'm trying to stress more than anything is the need for it. So what I deal with in my book, Fighting the Next American Revolution, I give this illustration, and a lot of times this really helps people understand that. Think about this for a minute. If me and you live next to each other, Bradley, and you have 90 acres and I have 10, one day I go up into my attic and I open up a chest and I find an old document in there, and it's the original bill of sale from 1776. Me, my family, your family bought this property together. I looked at the deed and we both had 50 acres. And I'm looking at it, I'm going, well, wait, why do I only have 10 acres now and you have 90? So I take the deed over to your house and I said, do you know where in our nation's, in our history that all of a sudden you have all this land and I only have 10 acres? Well, you're not going to want to give up that land, so you blow me off. So I go down to the courthouse and I say, hey, to the recorder, and I say, can you show me the original deeds? And they say, no, we got what you got. You're supposed to have 50, he's supposed to have 50. Well, there's no bill of sale in there. I would go back to you and say, look, dude, this is my land, you need to give this land back. And you're like, well, no, this is where it's always been in my family. Well, what happened over, and you've been out here to visit me in Pennsylvania, and you see all the land that we got. If my neighbor was to move the property pen 6 inches a year, nobody would ever recognize that. So over the span of 300 years, your property would encroach on my property. So the Bible says do not tear down the ancient boundary stones set up by your ancestors. Our ancestors, our founding fathers, set up two ancient stones. All right, boundaries. The United States Constitution and God's law. Those are the two ancient boundaries that we can stand on. The Christian church, for the last however long I've been saved, draws a line in the sand, we get pushed back, we draw another line, we get pushed back, and instead of going on the offensive and saying, no, here are the standards, God's law and the Constitution, and we are not going to move off of those. So if that happened in real life, then I would have to go file a lawsuit. I would have to go down to the courtroom and say, you need to tell this guy to get off of my property. And let the legal authorities do that. It's the same with my book, both of my books. We can appeal to heaven. We can go to the Lord in imprecatory prayer. This is what our founding fathers did. It says it right in the Declaration of Independence. We're appealing to the supreme judge of the universe. The king was a tyrant. The king was a lawbreaker. This was not just a tax revolt. This guy was a war criminal. Do you realize that seven times between 1327 and 1689 that they forced out a sitting tyrannical king in England? And in 1649, they tried, convicted, and executed King Charles for subverting the ancient and fundamental laws of this nation. If we are going to fix this country, we are going to have to start upholding justice. And these people who are not our rulers, that are civil servants, that are fellow citizens, who have subverted our Constitution, who have rejected God's law, they need to be held accountable. And not all this nicey-nicey, love them and forgive them. You're the criminal. Leave us alone. Get back to the Constitution. Get back to God's law, and this nation will be fixed.
Amen. You know, it's funny because I'm watching Top Chat right now, and everybody's, I got some people over there that are just basically talking about, really what they're doing is magnifying the problems while we're trying to give them the answers. And it's interesting, these are the same people that are, they're stuck in the same rut that, they've always been in, but yet you see them magnifying the problem rather than the law against the criminals to establish righteousness and peace within the gate. And that's exactly what we're talking about here, friends. People ask me all the time, what's the answer? We're giving you the answer. The answer is found in the Word of God. The answer is found in the Constitution. Dr. John is on the phone with us right now, sharing with us in precatory prayer, praying the prayers of David to get answers. One of the things, too, again, John, is the fact that they've been taught to succumb. They've been taught to just get by rather than overcome. And yet Scripture is very clear when it tells us that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. So, in other words, the church is to be on the offensive rather than the defensive. And I think of Exodus 23 right now. But what say to you concerning the people out there that are just, they're succumbing rather than overcoming? And I got to say this too, John, in all fairness, to guys such as ourselves that are diligently studying and showing ourselves approved unto God and a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, it's interesting, when we're diligently seeking out the Scriptures, we can find the answers. But it seems like more people come to me every day, well, what's the answer? What's the answer? Well, I'd ask you, what do you have your eyes fixed on? Because mine are fixed on the author and the finisher of our faith. Found in Hebrews 12:2. But again, what would you say to those people, John? Because I think I just answered my own question concerning what I would say to those people. But what would you say to those people, John?
It's about spiritual maturity, and kind of to sum up what the one caller was in there talking about when he kept quoting little children. There are three levels of Christian maturity. You ask any pastor, what are the levels of Christian maturity? They have no idea. The book of 1 John says very clearly there are three levels of Christian maturity. And I'll just paraphrase it because I don't have the whole thing memorized. But he says, I write to you children because your sins are forgiven. I write to you young men because you are strong. The word of God abides in you and you have overcome the wicked one. I write to you fathers because you have known him from the beginning. The one thing about a carnal Christian, all they understand is their sins are forgiven. That is it. They don't understand that they're not supposed to sin. 1 Corinthians 15 says, awake to righteousness and do not sin. For some do not have the knowledge of God. I say this to your shame. He's saying it's a shame that you people haven't even figured out you're not supposed to sin. But that just shows that they're carnal. That's what 1 Corinthians was.
Yeah,
written
right.
To a book of carnal Christians. The young men of the faith are strong. The word of God abides in them and they overcome the wicked one. Okay, we have to overcome the flesh. We have to overcome the world. We have to overcome the devil. The promises in the New Testament are only given to the overcomers. Read any of the letters from Christ in Revelation. To him who overcomes, I will give him this. To him who overcomes, I will give him this. These promises are not going to be given to the carnal Christians that are just looking for Scripture to justify their sin, but only those who overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil.
You see that throughout the epistles, who it's written to, sanctified in Christ, to those that are beloved of Christ. That's exactly right. People think, well, just because I say I'm a Christian means I'm a Christian. No, the Holy Ghost is to bear witness to that confession, and he's the one that bears that witness first and foremost before you know that you're born of the Spirit. If a man tells you that you're saved, nowhere in Scripture can you show me or point your finger to Scripture to tell me that they have the authority given by God to say that you are saved. That's the business of the Holy Ghost. John Diamond, Dr. John Diamond, we got less than a minute. We just had another phone call, Alex from California. Sorry, I had to cut you off. But I would say, go ahead and point people back to your information, your brand new book, and thank you for joining us today in closing. So what say you? Where do people go to find you?
Amazon would probably be the best place. An Appeal to Heaven, A Cry for Divine Justice is the one Trinity Broadcasting just published. And then the new one, which has got a picture of the White House burning with BLM and Antifa on the front of it, is called Fighting the Next American Revolution by Dr. John Diamond. You can find either of those on Amazon.
Amen. I appreciate it again, Dr. John Diamond, talking about imprecatory prayer. If you don't know what it means, some people are saying, what does it mean? I don't understand. Well, you haven't been paying attention. And I just got done telling you to pay attention. Sons of Liberty Radio.com, Sons of Liberty Media.com. Talk to you in 23. See ya.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNloans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding.
Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.